The episode you are about to hear was previously recorded around a coffee table. Special thanks to our guests, Katie and Daniel, for joining the conversation.
Okay. Hi, I'm Liz.
And I'm Laura.
And we're back for another episode of
From X to Z.
And today we have two very special guests with us. We have Katie and we have Daniel, and they are here to talk to us a little bit more about international mission trips that they both went on. Two different places. Katie, we will start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what generation are you?
I am Katie and I am Generation X.
Yay, Generation X. Gen X.
Yes. I currently work as a school counselor in two community-based programs that are in collaboration with the school district. So community and schools coming together to serve at-risk populations. And education is very dear to my heart. Like, I've been a teacher for over 20 years. And so I'm passionate about working with young people. I have two young people at home that I am mama to, and a really fantastic husband. And then we are involved in our church and helping co-lead young adult small group ministry.
Awesome. And Daniel?
Like she said, my name is Daniel. I'm a current student at EKU. My major is criminal justice. We'll see what I do with that later. I volunteer as a small group leader at our church, and I'm also a part-time lifeguard.
Ooh, and what generation are you?
I'm Gen Z. Forgot to mention that.
Gen Z. Okay, so we have two Gen X and two Gen Z. So this is literally from X to Katie. You recently went to England, and by recently, I mean like you're still suffering from jet lag.
Yes.
Yes. So thanks for being here to talk to us about your trip. And also, might I add, she just finished teaching a Zumba class while she's jet lagged, and she's also here to talk to us.
Might have had some
long
coffee.
Night.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for the caffeine. And for being here.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your experience. Like, why did you go to England? What was the mission trip? And just some highlights from that.
Well, a group from our church, five of us, ended up going to Birmingham, England. And the main purpose is because Birmingham is a unique city where there's over 180 different people groups represented, with over 1,000 different languages spoke. And so the diversity is the commonality, which was really a neat experience. We met with some missionaries who serve there who have started a discipleship training program called Equip Britain, and talk about how they reach out to diverse groups of populations and share the love of Jesus.
That's cool. How long were you there?
8 days. It's kind of a blur right now, but yeah. Yes, 8 days.
How large of a group went with you? How many people?
So there were five people, and it was in that itself was a diverse group, is that the pastor of our church, and then another deacon and myself, and then Professor Dean.
At Kentucky Christian University.
Yeah. Actually, we had an open spot, and so my best friend ended up going.
Nice.
And she is of a different denomination than all of us. And so even the group in itself was very diverse in our needs and what we do. Uh-huh. And it was really neat and gave us varying perspectives on what we were learning and what we were seeing and how we could utilize that when we came back to Kentucky.
Some takeaways from that? Did you come back with some good ideas to implement here?
If I can say that the number one thing that I learned is that it's okay to be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I was really uncomfortable. And even though it was England, and for the most part, our language is the same.
Yeah.
Our routines and our food and our electrical outlets are different. And so it just made me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I eventually started growing in that uncomfortableness. And I think that I learned, you know, that I've had a lot of really great people who were encouraging me, who said, you know, you can't grow unless you become uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And just taking that opportunity for God to speak to me through that uncomfortableness. And I still haven't processed everything he's trying to teach me, but just being uncomfortable helped me to relate to other people mm-hmm. who are new to our area or new to our country, students mm-hmm. specifically that I work with. And mm-hmm. so it made me more sympathetic to their needs. It also, you know, showed me that I could be uncomfortable and still be okay.
Yeah.
And so where it might be intimidating to walk up to somebody and share Jesus with them or to talk about your faith or just even ask them how their day is can sometimes be intimidating, that it's okay to be uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. So.
And one of your biggest encouragers for you to even go on this trip was your daughter. Right.
Yes. Yes. So true story about the uncomfortableness is that I had major jet lag. Uh-huh. And when I agreed to go, I knew that both of my daughter's birthdays, I was going to miss them. Like I was going to be in England and away from them. And so jet lag partnered with uncomfortable, partnered with my mama heart being sad to miss my girls. I was literally crying pretty much nonstop the first day. And I got on Google to see how much it would cost to fly home.
Oh, wow.
And so I might have called my husband about 5 times and I called my mom. And then the team that I was with was incredibly supportive. But I talked to my youngest daughter and she was like, Mom, get a plane ticket. Come home. She was turning 11 or just turned 11. Aww. And she's my little sensitive soul. And then I talked to my other daughter who God just incredibly used in that moment to say to me, Mom, we're okay. It's all right. We'll celebrate. God's called you there for a reason. Go see what he's got planned for you. Wow. We're going to be fine.
Wow.
And to hear that from my 15, just turned 15 year old, I just felt like God was really using her to speak to me.
For sure.
And that really calmed my heart. Mm-hmm. I was just overwhelmed on the days of their birthday that God sent people in the community to just support them and make them feel special. Yeah. A woman who takes my youngest to dance class and she stopped and got them all cupcakes.
Aww.
So they could celebrate.
Yes.
There was another mom who took some of her friends to get smoothies and she got to go like just some other ways that they made other people stepped up to make them feel special.
Yeah.
And so I felt like God just totally was encompassed that situation, things that he didn't have to do, but showed me that he heard that even though my mom's heart was sad, that it was going to be okay.
Yeah. He was taking care of that.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So Daniel, you went to Mexico this summer, and actually our co-host, Laura, was also on that trip.
I was.
So, Daniel, I'd like to hear from you about what that experience was like for you, some of your big takeaways from that, why you all went in the first place. What was that like?
So, I guess I'll start with, I had done 5 weeks of Wesley Woods before going to Mexico.
Which is a Christian
which
camp.
Which is a Christian summer camp. The ages range from kindergarten to eighth grade.
Wow.
So very big. Each week is a different age. So kindergartners aren't with eighth graders, thankfully. But
oh my gosh, could you
that
imagine?
Would be so chaotic. But so I did 5 weeks of that, and then I went to Mexico. And the first thing I want to say is, what a culture shock of like the kids, the behavior wise, because the kids from Monterey have been through so much. So they were so much more reserved, I guess is the right word, and just very well behaved. So that was one thing I immediately noticed. But along the lines of Wesley Woods, one of the reasons I said yes to going, which I think was kind of in your question a little bit.
Yeah.
So it started in like a long time ago. I was just looking for ways to feel God more. So I had a talk with Steve Koo, goes to my church, and he just said that volunteering internationally was one way, go on a mission trip. Mm-hmm. So I kind of put that in my back pocket. Next one was actually Laura and Kellen. They suggested going to this exact trip, the Monterey trip. So I was like, okay. And then the third thing that happened was there were so many boy senior counselors at Wesley Woods that everybody kind of had to take a week off. So I was like, let's just make it that week.
Wow.
So that all kind of lined up. Uh-huh. And then the point of the trip was to focus on, like, I guess just making those kids feel God's love.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was like a specific mission statement or anything like that, uh-huh. but that was our main goal. Mm-hmm. And just doing work at some children's homes, like we were whacking weeds with machetes. Yeah. It was a lot of physical
digging
labor.
Digging out roots out of the ground.
Yeah, but it was also so fun because you don't really do that here. You just got a lawnmower and then you're done. But actually, like, doing the work and then seeing this, like, forest become, like, a nice dirt pile so they can make it a parking lot, you could just, like, feel a real sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
And to do it together was
That was a lot of fun, too. We got to listen to music on the last day. It was a good time.
Yeah. Daniel with a machete, though. That's an interesting sight.
Could be dangerous. Watch out, weeds.
Possibly a scary sight.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I would say so.
So you went to Monterey, Mexico, and it was a children's home, right?
That's So the organization that we went to is Back to Back, and they partner with children's homes in the surrounding areas that they have a campus. So we stayed on campus, but then during the day we went to one of the children's homes that they partner with and did service projects there, whatever they needed help with. And then we had maybe a couple hours in the afternoon. We got to play games that they facilitated with the kids. And then they also had like coloring pages and stuff like that. So it was a pretty good mixture of that.
How long were you all there?
About a week. Okay. I think maybe a little bit more.
Or I think it was maybe six days. Yeah. 5 or 6 days.
Okay.
Not 8 days.
Not too long. Definitely could have gone longer.
Was it hot?
It was actually hotter than it was supposed to be because it had rain, so it was humid.
Yeah, so normally it's dry. Uh-huh. Dry heat there. This year with all of the hurricanes, it was very, very humid. Yep. And it rained a lot. So it was just like you're constantly trying to drink water because you're sweating a lot. Yeah. So humid.
Yeah. Katie, in England, what was the weather like? I'm just curious.
Around 70.
Oh, wow. So nice.
So temperature-wise, it was very lovely, as they would say. first day we were there, it was very cloudy. And the last day we were there, it was cloudy, but through the week, the sun was shining, so that made it lovelier.
Even lovelier. So lovely. two completely different experiences.
Yep. That's very different.
Two different climates.
Yeah. Yes. We were in the mid-90s, so.
Yeah. And it was safe to drink the water where we were, so
that's great. Yeah. Yeah.
And you were working primarily with adults, correct, Katie?
Yes, and ours was really more of a learning trip. I guess, like, missional, we kind of submerged ourselves into the culture and observed the diversity and how they work together, and then had some training sessions and lots of conversations about like what they do.
So Daniel, what was your biggest kind of takeaway from that trip?
There were a lot of different like moments, a lot of funny stories, a lot of like sincere moments where you could really feel God. One of them, more of the fun ones, was we got to go to a trampoline park with the kids. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was 2 or 4 hours. It felt like a really long time.
4 days, maybe.
Maybe. But just seeing those kids have so much fun, even though you were literally jumping for an extraordinary long time.
Yeah.
It was just so much fun. And one thing I was afraid of was the language barrier, because I know, like, no Spanish at all.
Yeah.
But one of my friends knew a decent amount of Spanish, so I was, it was, like, 2 volunteers and a kid, so I was with him, so he's able to say a little bit, but it wasn't even that important, because it's just mainly, like, having fun with the kid, mm-hmm. and that's a universal language, laughter, everything like that.
I
and then,
that.
yeah. One of the more sincere moments from the trip was the worship night at the back-to-back
campus.
Campus, that's it. That's the word. So they had some English songs, so you would obviously know those. And then some Spanish songs, too. And that was really cool because, like, I don't know Spanish, but just hearing a worship song that you know in a different language is very cool to hear.
Yeah.
And they also had, like, all sorts of activities to do. So one of them was handing a glow stick to somebody who, like, lit up your trip or something like that.
Oh, no. That's
so
cute.
Yeah, that was cool to see. And, like, it was a really, I want to say it was a really good group of people who went from Calvary and the family that, like, was also with us.
Yeah.
So just overall a really good group. So like everybody could give a glow stick to anybody and it would make sense. Having that camaraderie, that group there was amazing as well.
That's awesome. So what you said reminded me, Katie, you all went to a church too while you were in England, right?
We did, yes.
And what was that? I know you sent a video of that and you talked about that a little bit, but what was that like? So, how is that different from your typical Western American church experience that we are familiar with?
Well, we know that, you know, England is full of beautiful old structures and that includes a lot of their churches. And so we walk up to a church that was built like in the 1800s and it was this cathedral looking thing and it was just the architecture and things were beautiful. You could tell though it had been run down and then but when you walked in, or as we were walking to the door, actually, we were greeted by all these young people. I would say average age of 22.
Wow.
And they had signs that said welcome, and they were all so eager to greet us and talk to us and welcome us to the church. And they walked in with us, and then we had, they had coffee and biscuits. AKA cookies.
Coffee though, not tea.
I think they had both.
Okay.
I was after the caffeine.
Yeah.
And coffee. But I think they had both. And then they welcomed us to a worship. And so when you walk into this huge, big cathedral looking church, they had taken the pews out. There was like chairs set up in the place of the pews. But where the room would have been filled with pews, there was like maybe 50 chairs set up. There was two young people, like a husband and wife team, that were leading the whole service. And they looked to be in their 30s with young children. The entire congregation, like I would say the average age was 25 that day.
Wow.
And there was maybe like 50 people total in attendance. They were having family day, and so they had some chairs holding babies in one spot, like wrapped like as a fence, like holding babies in one spot. They had coloring books and things set over for some of the other kids. They did a beautiful worship time with just some like a hand drum and then a keyboard and a guitar, and so they were just singing, and it was beautiful. When you looked around, what was really cool is that not just the age, but that they were all different ethnicities and nobody looked the same. It was just really neat to see that and that we all came together for the same purpose.
That's awesome. I wonder how long all those people have been going there, like since they're so young. It's really cool to hear.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit more about that story is that, the church had gotten down to, like, I think 15 parishioners. That's it. And they said they were obviously in desperate, almost shutting the doors. Mm-hmm. And another church from inner city has kind of adopted it and is trying to do a church plant there. And so to me, I'm like, what? You know, how incredible is it that the people who are coming to plant this church in this like kind of rundown area of town are the young people.
Yeah.
You know, it was like such a witness to me that the generation does care.
Yeah.
You know?
Was that like a multicultural group too? Kind of like what you were saying, very diverse.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
How many cultures live in Birmingham. I remember there was...
There's over 180 people groups. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the one city. Yeah.
And it's not that large of a city, correct?
No. I don't remember the exact
That's
crazy. Yeah. That's really awesome. You talked about the food, like the food area. It was a food, not a food court, but a food market.
Like an outdoor market.
Just in general, the food options were so diverse. Mm. Like you could have an Indian restaurant next to an Italian restaurant next to like a hamburger place, you know. Yeah. It was just very, very diverse in those options. And the same when you would see people walk down the street, like I would hear multiple languages just as I was walking down the street. Nobody seemed to look the same. Uh-huh. Like they were all, you know, very different. And that was just really unique experience. We did go to an open market. Like they had an open food market and different places were set up. And you had typical like Muslim, I think, people selling like food or meats that like the Muslim community mm-hmm. would want. And then you had people with like the fish market, which was more kind of like the British. And and then you could look out the door and see like Chinese area of town. And then we talked to a man who was selling African spices and herbs, and all these things. And so, I mean, that was all within one area, one like just looking, not even walking around like one area. Yeah.
That sounds so cool to me. I would love that. I have a very diverse palate. So
yeah, the spices. Oh, yeah, I know. That sounds
like my mouth is watering just thinking about it.
So what I do not have a diverse palate.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can't think of the palate. Word. Yeah, thanks. Struggling. Jet lag, y'all. Jet lag. Yeah. Let's blame it on that. But I did push myself a little bit, so that week.
Yay.
That's good. How about the food in Monterey? What was
so good.
Yeah, since we're talking about that.
Since we're on that subject.
Yeah, so this amazing woman, she works at the back-to-back site, and she is just phenomenal. Actually, this year, she wrote down all of her recipes, and they were letting all the visitors know they could have it for a donation. So, of course, we got one.
Yeah.
Kellen has already made mango pie from it. It's literally so good. It's just so good. What all did she make?
Well, the mango pie.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Mango pie.
You would think. So see, good. So like she had two options one day for after dinner for dessert. It was mango pie or chocolate cheesecake.
Uh-huh.
You would
could
like,
not I, have even told you the other option.
I know.
I got two pieces of mango pie.
Yeah. So I was like, to me, like I'm a big chocolate person. Like fruit's okay, but like I'm a big chocolate person. So I was like, ooh, I gotta go for that. But I remembered from last year, the mango pie was so good. I didn't even look at it. I just knew I wanted the mango pie. It's like, I don't even know how to explain it. I keep talking about it. I need to explain
it. It's cold. She has to refrigerate it for 5 hours.
Yeah.
So okay. I don't know how to
describe
it.
It's like a mango ice cream.
It's
mixed
not baked.
With cream cheese, not baked, okay. And it's from the freezer. So it's basically like a mango ice cream in a pie crust.
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh.
It's
with
very
whipped cream and fresh mango on top.
Yeah.
Sounds really delicious.
Oh,
it's delicious. It's and the mango's there, obviously better
oh,
than
yeah,
it is here.
Oh, yeah, right.
So that. But she was also just great cook and baker
yeah, she
in
was
general.
Phenomenal.
There were quesadillas some nights, classic tacos. I know some of the people in our group had like 20.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they were smaller, but 20 is still a lot.
She also made one night, she made spaghetti, which you wouldn't think, but it was a green chili sauce with the noodles. And it was like,
and the peppers and everything.
I would never have thought to make this. This is so good.
Yeah.
The spice level is perfect. She would char some peppers,
like
jalapenos, all the peppers you can think of. And of course, you know, I got way more than I should have, but it was really good.
It was worth it too. I think we worked off the calories.
Not to say there obviously was some really good value in your missional work, but the food sounds like a really good perk.
It is.
Oh, yeah. My favorite part of traveling is usually the food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kati is her name. She's amazing. The last day, we all applauded her because we were like, thank you for cooking for us. You were amazing.
She needed that applause.
That's so
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, and churros. She made churros one night.
She also gave us like a preview of the mango pie, and she made like a mango cupcake.
Oh, I forgot those about that. Those were really good. She did cinnamon sugar tortillas. Mm-hmm. Oh, just amazing.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of funny. My boss, before I left, he was like, bring home some salsa recipes for me to try and some queso. And I was like, okay, well, I'll see what I can do. I don't know if I'll have any. So I actually, since we got the recipe book, I was like, okay, here's a couple you can try for salsa. But fun fact, queso is American. It is not Mexican. It is like the only cheese we ever really had was in the quesadillas.
Yeah.
And it was the queso fresco that they put, you melt.
Crumbly kind
The crumbly kind.
Did you have cheese in your tacos?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Nope.
Interesting.
No, it was just the meats. She usually had 5 different kinds to pick from.
Mm-hmm.
And then peppers or something like that to put on top. Yeah. Not cheese to put on top, and there was no queso.
Oh.
Which, I mean, you didn't need it.
It's
like a good street taco. Exactly.
The flavors just like came alive. It was amazing. It was so nice. Food 100 out of 10.
Well, I could talk about food all day, but Laura, you haven't told us. So Daniel told us why he said yes to going to a mission trip.
Yeah.
Why did you say yes? This is your second time saying yes to this
particular one. Yeah. This was my 4th missions trip. And my 2nd to this site in Monterrey, Mexico. Little backstory. Whenever I was 15, I surrendered to the mission field. And I didn't quite know what that would look like. But I was just saying yes to what I felt God was laying on my heart. And I had all these ideas whenever I graduated high school. But I really felt like God was telling me to stay here for right now where I live. But these short-term mission trips are a really awesome way to get to meet other missionaries and people how they do mission work in other countries, but also to get to do that for like a short period of time for myself too, because I don't know what that looks like, what exactly God has called me to do missionally, but I know he has called me to do that, which he calls all Christians, but so, yeah, that's why I said yes to this, because I really love what Back to Back does as an organization. Actually, the Mexican government, in some aspects down there, are trying to phase out of orphanages and children's homes to foster care systems. And so that's some work we got to do down there as well. And to see that on the administrative side, and to see how they're facilitating all of that to really make the children's lives a lot better in the way that they can. It's just really cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so I definitely wanted to go back to this trip. They do a really, really awesome job with facilitating smaller short-term trips and groups. You're only there for a few days. Mm-hmm. You're not going to make deep relationships with the kids or the people, but you will make lasting memories, and the people that you come with are the people that you're going to continue to build those relationships with. So the way that they set it up is really awesome. So that's why I said yes.
Awesome. Katie, why did you say yes to your mission trip? And is this the first international mission trip you've been on, or have you been on others?
This is the first international one. When I was in college, I served for a summer in Orlando, Florida, but that was obviously a little different. I don't know. Is it our generation that says yes because we're asked? I don't know.
Gen X might be the opposite of that, actually.
Okay, well, maybe I'm the weirdo, but with my career and working with diverse and at-risk populations and the education experience, leadership experience that I have a devout interest in, I saw this as a great opportunity to learn and truly have a new experience.
Mm-hmm.
And all I really want to do is love people and love people well. Mm-hmm. And so to gain any kind of knowledge that could help me come back to my home to do that is what I wanted to learn and do. So,
yeah. Do you think you'll go back if there's another opportunity?
It's Is it too soon?
I mean, it is pretty soon for me to ask that question.
You're still been processing. Back like 3 days.
Yeah, I am still very much processing. But I think just trying to have a willingness to whatever God calls you to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did, even in my uncomfortableness towards the end of the week, I found myself like really loving the city.
Yeah.
And the people that I was meeting and just thankful for them. And so I'm not opposed to going back at all.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just wait and see what God calls. So
what about you, Daniel? Will you go back?
I think my answer would be like a very blatant yes.
Yeah.
Because just being down there, it's like a refresher. Uh-huh. It's like you're not living your everyday stressful life when you're down there.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're serving the Lord. You're just getting to make people happy who don't always have that.
Yeah.
And just having that break from all the stress was really relieving. And just getting to experience another culture for the first time. This was my first mission trip and first time out of the country at all.
Wow.
So both those things just made it a really great trip for me. So I think it's something I'd definitely come back to.
Awesome. Even though you had a close encounter with a tarantula. Ugh. And I mean like a close encounter.
Like, yeah. Like literally. Okay. So Daniel was talking about this worship night that we had.
Yeah.
Okay. It was loud. Like people were singing. There was like speakers and they had like a guitar, like a drum. It was like a whole thing. And spiders are scared of light. Spiders are scared of sound. This tarantula marches down the center aisle.
On the last song.
Of this last song towards the front of the stage. But there wasn't a stage, but where people were standing and singing. And I was like, what is happening? And that's what the singer said. She's one of the staff members. And she said, you are the first, and she's been there 6 years. She said, you are the first group to ever find a tarantula, let alone.
And it found you.
Yeah.
Let alone it walks in with everyone here. And she was shocked.
There was another one after that, but I'd like to say the reason this all happened was because of our group members who wanted to find a tarantula. They went on countless scavenger hunts for tarantulas, and I hate spiders. I love to kill them, but like this giant, big, hairy spider, absolutely not. And you can't kill that because
No. Tarantulas eat mosquitoes, they are good. We just let him walk away.
Well,
yeah.
You sent me a video clip of the tarantula, Laura. You did.
I did.
It was kind of mean because you know that I am like textbook arachnophobic, and I was getting ready to go to bed, and I'm like, "Oh, one Laura sent me," and I'm like, "Why?" It was just this to me, but then I heard somebody say, "Put something down there so you can get kind of like something to compare it to for size." And Daniel, did you put your hand down there?
Oh, that was
there?
Not me.
Well, I thought it was you.
Yeah,
I heard
it
your
was
voice.
You. It was you.
You probably heard my voice in the background saying
it was
you.
I thought it was you. And I was like,
definitely
kudos
me.
To you, Daniel, because I know you and I share in that.
If my hand was any close to it, it would be to stop it.
Funny.
Well, I like tarantulas better than mosquitoes, though, so I'll take that.
I'll take a mosquito.
So Laura, you've been to Monterey twice.
Yes.
Are you going back?
Yes.
Yeah.
I definitely would love to go back. It's also like the food, the people, the way that they initiate the trips, but also the mountains. You're smack dab in the middle of mountains on this side of you and on this side of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just
anywhere you look at them,
they're
beautiful
place.
Maybe I'll go some.
You should.
I don't know. Every year I've been asked to go to Monterey, and every year I'm like, it falls on my oldest son's birthday.
Yeah.
But Katie, you've actually kind of taken that excuse away from me.
Or just bring him.
I cried the whole time, though.
So. Yeah, I could bring him. I think he would get a lot out of that.
I think he'd like it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was another group. They
had a little kids.
Yeah, there was a lot. They were probably 8, 9. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. They would be great. It would be a really good trip.
I think it would be a good learning experience for him.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you guys for sharing about your experience. And now I want to talk a little bit about our podcast is from X to Z. So we talk a lot about generational differences and characteristics and things like that. So a couple of things I wanted to ask you guys, you both being from two different generations, How do you think your generation views missionary work compared to maybe other generations? So Katie's Gen X, Daniel's Gen Z, Laura, you're Gen Z. What do you guys think?
I think the thing that's coming to my head first is like raising support. That's changed a lot through the years. You still go to churches and like tell them what you're going to be doing and show them the work that you'll be doing. But the way that you can keep people updated now, instead of going on furlough and going back around to all of the churches and giving them an update, which, you know, also still happens, but you can have your Instagram or your mm-hmm. social media to update people and keep in contact. I don't know. That's just the first thing that comes to my mind. And I feel like it's more accessible to see how people live.
Yeah.
And to see how they're doing. If there's a need that comes up,
yeah,
people can help more easily uh-huh. than maybe past.
Katie, Daniel, what do you think?
First, I guess would be that my generation wouldn't really be as open. That was just my assumption, just because I think we're all very involved with ourselves a lot of the time mm-hmm. and our own lives. But I was pleasantly surprised with how many people from Gen Z actually did go on the trip. There was at least probably like 6-7.
Yeah.
And that other family, there was like
a lot
3
of alphas, so, too. Gen yeah. alphas.
So I was pleasantly surprised with that. So I think it was good to have that assumption be a little bit wrong. I think there's some truth to it still, that mm-hmm. this generation's kind of more involved with themselves and not seeing mission trips as important. But I was glad I was a little wrong with that, and that mm-hmm. there's still people out there who want to get out and just show God's love and just show love for service mm-hmm. as well.
That's good. I was reading an article that said the generation that's this 18 to 34 year old range, they're what's called supportive skeptics. Mm-hmm. And they have significant reservations about missions because they want to see change. They want more focus on social justice ministries, mm-hmm. Medical care and service to the poor. They want more empowerment of indigenous Christians to start and lead their own churches. Mm-hmm. And they want missionaries to be more aware of their own biases, more affirming of indigenous languages and cultures, and less what they see as pushy about evangelism.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, kind of what your hunch was. Yeah. I think your hunch is pretty accurate. Katie, what about you? As a Gen X, a fellow Gen X?
Yeah.
Do you think we see mission work differently?
I don't know. I am contemplating this question. I think that we value missions. I think we've always like valued it and seen it as important, but I'm not sure that we recognize our place in that. Like that it's mm-hmm. usually for somebody else to do and we'll just sit back and support, you mm-hmm. know, financially or pray about it.
Yeah.
That it's not something that you necessarily go out and do.
I would agree with that. I would think that our generation are less likely to kind of dive in and get their hands dirty mm-hmm. in the work, but still like see it as a worthy thing and supportive of it.
Yes.
And also speaking with current Gen X, like our stage in life, mm-hmm. where a lot of us have young children mm-hmm. and jobs and things that make it a little bit more difficult. So I think we can also use that as a crutch.
Yes.
That, like I said, my son's birthday always falls around the Monterey trip, but then Katie makes me feel bad because she missed both of her daughter's birthdays by saying yes to a mission trip. So, yeah, I definitely think that's perspective, though, right? That's some differences for sure.
That's just a really good point about supporting. I thought that was interesting that you said that you have more, you know, you're like more established in your jobs, and so you can support more than you can take time off work to go and do. So I just thought that makes sense. Like younger people are more able to use their time
yeah.
and maybe not their money. So that is an interesting concept to think about, stages of life too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something that you said also made me want to ask this question. How do you think social media plays a role in mission work, whether it engages people or makes people want to do mission work, whether it maybe makes people feel like they don't have to do mission work because the world's so much smaller, or does it make us more aware of the need for mission work? I don't know. What do you all think?
That's a good question. I definitely think that social media has done a really good job with making people aware of things.
I think there's a lot of clear positives, but also some clear negatives in it. Because it's great to show light to what you're doing. And like raising that awareness is very important. But I also think that using it as more of like a, hey, look, I did this, that right. can definitely pour into some like negative and yeah. also like reinforcing stereotypes as well.
Yes.
When you are just posting.
And also feels inauthentic. And that is exactly. one thing that we have learned about Gen Z is that authenticity is super, super yeah. important. And if they feel like something is not authentic, then they want no part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. I was thinking along the aspect of mission organizations mm-hmm. posting of what they're doing. But that's a really good point. And that's what Back to Back says is like, do not post pictures of the children.
I really like that rule.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we need to, you know, keep them safe.
It keeps them safe, but yeah. it also like gives you accountability.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. You know, we're not there to exploit the kids. We're yeah. there to help and
exactly.
give joy. So that's a good point.
You made a point. Something else I had read was that, speaking of supporting missions by financially supporting them or giving, I had read an article too that Gen X is more inclined to do that, not only because they might have more resources to do so, but we are of a generation that we're more open to giving and just trusting that money is going to where it should go, whereas the younger generations are not. They're skeptical
yeah.
and they want to know where their money is going if they support a mission, and they want to be able to see where that money yeah. is going. And so they're less, not that they're less inclined to give because they're not as generous, but that they're more skeptic mm-hmm. about where's my money going if I support this mission financially. This is an interesting mm-hmm. difference for sure. So what advice would you give to someone from your generation or younger or even older who might consider going on a mission trip?
Well, I did this to Daniel a few months yeah. ago.
Laura, what did you say to Daniel? And it worked, obviously.
I think we were just talking about it.
Yeah.
I was like,
I was already kind of interested.
Yeah. So that which I didn't know about your conversation with Steve.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I had no idea of that. And then we were just talking about it and I was excited to go back. I think we just talked about the work that you do. And because to me, the reason that I go to that trip is to see the work that they're doing. And they're always changing it.
Yeah.
They're not doing the same thing through all of the years that they've been there. They're mm-hmm. constantly learning new things, adapting to all of the things, culture, the weather, the politics, like everything. They're always changing and adapting. COVID, they talked about that, like they adapted a lot. So just talking about like how well run it is. And I think that's a good point about Gen Z being skeptical about where their money goes. Mm-hmm. I think Gen Z can also be skeptical about where their time goes
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that other generations are not, but
Gen X is pretty skeptical
yeah.
too. Yeah. Pretty anti-authority and all of that. Yeah. yeah.
I was just talking it up mm-hmm. to Daniel.
You're selling it. Maybe you can sell it to me. Both of you guys can sell it to
yeah.
me.
Oh, I tried with that spider video, but,
I think that's what I replied to you. It's like, and so I will never be going to Monterey after seeing that video.
Oopsie.
Okay, so one of the things that we like to end our podcast with is, why does this matter, or does this matter? So I'd like to hear from each of you. Why do you think mission trips are so important? Why do you think this matters?
I think it matters because as Christians, we are called to spread the light of Christ to others. And I think so that's one of the reasons. But also another reason is to just, like, by being that light, you're called to take care of people's needs, all of their needs. And so I think that's why it matters for me.
Katie, why do you think this matters?
I think experiences are a great teacher. And you can research and look and watch videos now and do all kinds of things. But until you experience it firsthand, you're kind of limited. So, you know, opening yourself up to missions allows God to work through you. And just being open to his calling, how he wants to use you, is vitally important, right? And unless you're willing to open yourself up to those opportunities, then you could be missing out on a greater calling.
I'd say, like, the reason it's so important is just all the benefits that come with it. Like, to answer your previous question as well, if somebody's even thinking about a mission trip, there's really no harm in doing it. If you try it, you probably love it. But even if you don't, you can know that you did something good. Even if it wasn't your thing, you did something for the better. It helped other people. Even if you don't think it did a lot, it still did something. And that's what's really important. You did something that God wanted you to do. Because if you're feeling a push, it's most likely God. And just seeing the small things, the big things, anything that happens from that trip, good or bad, you know that you were there for a reason and that the events that happened there were also for a reason. And just being able to experience that definitely made my faith have a firmer foundation. And I'm sure for many other people did as well. And just, like, honestly, if you're thinking about it, I'd say just go for it.
Well said. I wanted to share something I had read in Baptist News Global by this journalist named Eric Bridges. He says, as Christians, we preach Christ crucified. We don't preach ourselves. The love of Jesus transcends culture, tradition, ethnicity, and family ties. The love of Christ has been the guiding light of my life, not tradition or culture. Only the love of Jesus has the power to change a life. So in regard to missions, we have to ask ourselves, are we showing the love of Christ or are we showing our culture? The call to Christ is a call to serve and to live a life of surrender. We have lost the heart of Jesus in the church, and we must get back to who Jesus is to move forward. So I thought that was pretty good. Well, that's what we think. That's why we think this matters. But we always like to hear from anyone who's listening to us. Let us know what you think about why this matters or does this matter. You can go to our Instagram page at From X to Z Pod. Or you can email us.
Yep, you can email us at fromxtozpod@gmail.com.
Okay, well, until next time, thank you, Katie, and thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.